had one song that I could sing you, or a story I could tell before I leave. If I only had one message I could bring you, there's no question it would be about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cross, there's something beautiful about the cross. I could sing about the state of grace I live in,
or the peace and joy I have when times are tough.
I could sing of all the blessings I've been given, but in the end, my life is just about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. 2,000 years ago, if I had watched him die, I think I would have lost all hope, demanded to know why.
But now I know the cross means everything,
and it's the greatest honor to sing about the cross, about the blood, about the place I found God's mercy and love. And although it's bittersweet remembering the cost, there's something beautiful about the cross. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. There's something beautiful about the
Thank you, ladies, for that song, and I hope that you listen to the words of that song. Good morning, everybody. You got me this morning, and I'm thankful that really for a great church and a great opportunity to preach behind this pulpit. I always wonder why Brother Myers chooses people like me to fill in for him, and I know the reason. It's because he wants you to miss him, amen. So after this morning's message, you're going to be writing him thank you cards. You're going to meet him where he's at in Daly City right now. And I'm just here to be used for his purpose, and that's all that I'm here for. The title of the lesson this morning is The Storms of Life. The Storms of Life. You've heard it said time and time again that everybody's going through a tough time. And by the way, let me say this. Some of us are going through a tougher time than others, and I understand that. The world is filled. Churches are filled with hurting people, and that's not to take lightly. And if God has allowed you to be somebody to cross paths with someone that's hurting, give them your time. Give them your love. Let's not be flippant, because it doesn't feel good to hurt. It doesn't feel good to go through the storms of life. Let's stand together, please, as we read in the book of Mark. We'll be looking at Mark chapter number 4 as we're standing in honor of God's word, if you're able. Mark chapter number 4, we'll look at verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter number 4, verses 35 to 41. Here we have the story of a very violent storm that a ship is caught in the midst of. Fortunately, Jesus is on board, and let's see what happens here. The Bible says in verse number 35, "And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitudes, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat the ship, so that it was now full. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for our theme, exploring the book. And I'm so thankful personally in my life that no matter what I go through, whether it be storms, I can look in the Bible and see a solution to get through it. Your book is filled with so many answers. And this morning we get to see just evidence of that. We pray, dear God, that as this room may be filled or occupy somebody that's going through a tough time, that you'll help them to get exactly what they need. Hide me behind the cross. I have no intention of showing myself, but I pray, dear God, that you'll make yourself very real and evident. Your people came to church for a reason today. They want needs. They want help. They want to have a guidance, and I pray that you'll give them exactly that. We love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that. Here we have a story, as I mentioned, of a violent storm in the Bible, and there's a ship that's caught in the midst of it. And isn't it nice to know that no matter how violent the storm may be, Jesus remains calm? Have you ever been in a situation in life where things were just falling apart and you didn't know what to do? And sometimes you may even thought to yourself, does anybody even care? Well, I got good news for you. Jesus cares. And he wants to help you. So the word storm oftentimes is used in relation to something, a physical or natural disaster such as a hurricane or an earthquake or a tornado or a tsunami. And we understand that the effects of a storm can be very devastating. However, biblically speaking, the word storm is also used in relation to the trials and the difficulties that God's people face on a daily basis. Though at first thought we may not think that our difficulties or our trials may be as catastrophic as a tsunami or a tornado, to us it may just be as devastating. We understand that everybody's having a tough time. How about it this morning? Are you experiencing a storm? Have you experienced a storm? Maybe there's something that just happened last week that nobody knows about, and you're managing to keep on that smile just so you can fool everybody. But deep down inside, you're hurting. Somebody hurt you. There's something going on in there. To everybody else, it may be sunshine and roses. But to you, there's a violent storm going on in your life. Maybe it's a financial storm. Maybe because of the economy, you've lost some hours at work. Worse yet, maybe you lost your job. And every single year, you have wonderful plans for your family to go to a summer vacation, maybe out of state, maybe even out of the country. And you always had this cushion of money that you're able to set aside to take care of all that. But now, vacation has to be at home. And it's hurtful. You're in a financial storm. Maybe it's personal debt. As I mentioned, maybe you had a cushion of money in the bank account and you use your credit card to purchase a brand new car. Or maybe a new home, or maybe you move to a nicer location, a nicer apartment, to treat your family to a nicer neighborhood, but all of a sudden you lost your job, or all of a sudden you had to cut back on your, you got your income cut back, and now you can't afford it. Now the interest is piling up. Can I tell you something? You're in a financial storm. It's a financial storm. Maybe it's an emotional storm. This is one of the worst things that can happen to anybody, but maybe there's just harmony in the home. I don't know about you, but when I come home, I look forward to my children hugging me and kissing me. And sometimes when my wife feels like it, she does that too, amen. But I love it. I work in the school, and it can be fun sometimes. And when I go home, I just want to go home and relax and just drink some ice cold water, okay? And just go on with my day. But you know what? Many people cannot do that. They go home from a stressful day at work only to hear more problems, only to see more stress in their lives. I don't know what you're going through at home right now. Maybe it's between a husband and a wife. That wedding day was so wonderful and perfect, and that honeymoon was so beautiful, and it was just picture perfect. But after a couple weeks and a couple months and a couple of years of marriage, now we don't even speak to each other anymore before we go to sleep. Now we don't even give each other a kiss, and now we don't even go on dates anymore. Maybe there's disharmony at home. You're having a financial storm right now. Maybe it's between a father and a son, or a mother and a daughter. There used to be a wonderful time where you used to push that child on the swing and caress that child as he went to sleep or as she went to sleep. Now she got older. She's got her own little attitude now. Now there's ungratefulness maybe, and they don't see anything that you do. And maybe, unfortunately, sometimes it's the parents' fault. And maybe there's this harmony right now. Maybe you're in an emotional storm. Maybe somebody hurt you deeply. Somebody hurt you so bad, and you know what? They don't even care that they hurt you. They don't even care to ask for forgiveness, and now bitterness is seeking in. You may be fine every other day, but when someone mentions their name or you see a picture of them online, man, your teeth start to grind, and you're unrestful, and you want to get back at them. Let me say this about bitterness. You're hurting yourself, and not only are you hurting yourself, but you're hurting everybody that you love. Bitterness is a horrible thing. It's not worth holding on to something and killing yourself and forfeiting the right of a happy family and a wonderful marriage and wonderful children just so you can get back at someone. Let me say this. You're not getting back at anybody, because most of the time, people that are willing to hurt you, they can care less. Let's not be bitter. Maybe it's an emotional storm. Maybe it's health. Your health has taken a toll. Maybe you're not as fast as you used to be. You're not as strong as you used to be. You used to do so many chores around the house. Now you're limited to just doing half of it because your health has taken a toll. You're not as young anymore. And because your health has taken a toll, your mind is slipping away. You get discouraged. There's things that you just can't do anymore. I don't play basketball anymore. People ask me to play. Oh, yeah, you just want attention. You want to sign up last minute. I don't want to sign up last minute, first minute, any minute. Listen, I'd rather live in the fabricated stories that I tell about how good I was. I don't want to have to go out there and prove it. Are you silly? No way. Man, I can do good for 3 minutes, but after that, give me some water. Not the water. Give me the IV, amen. I can't handle it, but maybe your health is taking a toll. And by the way, I understand. I'm only 34 years old, but for whatever reason, my memory is slipping me. I'll song lead sometimes, and what are we singing here? I gotta look. Oh, he's looking at the songbook because he's not prepared. I know the song. I've been singing it since I was born. My mind's slipping me. But maybe you have something much more severe. My mother-in-law, what a wonderful woman. She is the machine. I say that in a good way, okay? I know people make fun of their mother-in-laws, but she's a godly woman. She's the only woman that I know that loves to change diapers. She comes over our house, and when my kids have diaper problems, I go, oh, man, here we go again. We'll take them to the bathroom. I don't do the whole wipes thing if it's really bad because it's just easier for me. But she'll go, oh, someone has a miracle. Someone has a miracle. A miracle? That's not a miracle. That happens every day, 4 or 5 times a day, all right? Miracles happen every once in a while. But now her health has taken a toll because of her cancer. She's a little bit slower, and sometimes I'll find her just kind of sitting to herself a little bit, grimacing in pain, and then she'll get up, and she'll move forward again. But maybe your health has taken a toll on you and it's causing you to be in an emotional storm. Maybe it's a spiritual storm. Our walk with God has been diminished. There used to be a time that we loved the Bible. There used to be a time that we loved prayer. There used to be a time that when we came to church, it wasn't just as a hangout place, but we wanted something from God and we needed something for our family and we needed something to help our sinful lives. But now we come to church because of our diminished walk with God and because we're backslidden and because of our spiritual storm, we don't care what the preacher has to say anymore. We don't care what the Word of God has to say anymore. I just want people to see that I'm here this morning so I can check in and check out. And maybe our walk with God has diminished. The Bible doesn't do anything for us anymore. Why would I read the Bible through in a year if I can't even have the desire to read it in the first place? Maybe our walk with God has diminished. We've gotten complacent. We stopped growing. Remember this, everything is dying. You don't have a right to stay stagnant. You're either growing or you're slipping backwards. Maybe our walk with God has gotten complacent. Maybe we don't acknowledge our need for Him any longer. The Bible says, be careful for nothing in Philippians, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. There used to be a time that we prayed about everything. Oh God, be with my family. Oh God, be with my marriage. Oh God, be with my workplace. Oh God, provide the needs for our family. Oh God, put food on the table. But now we don't rely on God. We rely on our income. We rely on our strength. We rely on our abilities. And the only thing we pray for now is maybe 15 seconds a meal. And at that, it's memorized. You might as well go online and look up another prayer. God's tired of hearing that mechanical prayer. God wants something fresh. God wants something new. And maybe we just don't acknowledge him any longer. I remember driving with my in-laws for the first time. They did something that I've never heard about doing before, and I always did it in my mind. But whenever we left as a family anywhere, they prayed. Oh, God, help us. We go shopping. God, help us to save some money. I'll tell you how you save money. Stay home. Oh, God, give us safety on the roads. Help everyone to drive safely. In my mind, I'm thinking, I mean, I pray, but that's maybe a little excessive. But, you know, they're just relying on God for everything. For everything. And maybe that's our problem. Maybe we have sin in our lives. Maybe we have sin in our lives. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Two of the scariest verses in the Bible. Do you realize, do I realize, we must realize that if we have sin in our lives, we forfeit the right to have our prayers heard by God. This is the Bible that I'm reading here. I know it's not popular, friend, and I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but I'm trying to remind us that we don't have the right to just allow sin to be in our lives. We can be a tough guy. We can be a tough lady, and we can try to go on without God. But if we deliberately hold on to sin without confessing it to our Savior, we don't have a right. We don't have a right to have our prayers heard. I forget which preacher it was, D.L. Moody, Charles Spurgeon. He was walking across the street with his friend, and he stopped in the middle of the street, bowed his head, and said a quick prayer. And then walked across the street to the other side. His friend said, what are you doing? What are you doing stopping in the middle of a busy street? What's the matter with you? He said, I had a bad thought through my mind, and I had to confess it right away. And his friend said, why couldn't you just wait till you get to the other side? It's a lot safer. He said, I didn't want to be separated from my God for that long. How many times do we go on through life with sin and, oh, you know what, I'll just pray next week. Oh, God, you know all the sins that I've done all as because you're God, right? You know everything. No, God wants to hear them specifically. You try that one with your wife. You know everything that I've done that was not good. Okay, right, we're good? Okay, let's go forward. Doesn't work, and it doesn't work with God either. How long will we go on and stay in this spiritual storm without having our prayers heard? I don't know what kind of storm you're facing this morning. Could be financial. It could be emotional, could be a spiritual storm, but there's a solution for you. There's a solution. I'd like to share four things from the Word of God to notice about the storms of life to help us through them. Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to be looking at a lot of verses, many of which I'm going to be reading off of my notes. Normally, I like to turn to them in my Bible, but there's just a lot of verses, and I want to finish on time here. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and as we're there, we'll look at verses 19 to 24. Matthew 14. Point number one thing that we notice about storms, the position of storms. The position of storms. Let's look at chapter 14, 19 to 24. The Bible says, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples. And the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. This is one of the most magnificent miracles ever recorded in the Bible. Many times we refer to this as the feeding of 5,000, when in actuality, it's the feeding of 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. So that could be anywhere up to 15 to 20,000 people, depending how big their families were. Jesus Christ took five loaves of bread and two fishes, and he did what only he could do, amen? He did a miracle. He fed hungry people. What a great miracle. I read about it in the Bible, and I get excited. Can you imagine being a disciple and being there firsthand and seeing this miracle done? What an amazing experience. But shortly after, let's see what happens. The Bible says in verse number 22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. See, at this time, they wanted to crown him king. You do a miracle like that, we're going to make you king right now, but it wasn't the time. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. After this wonderful victory, this mountaintop victory, the disciples found themselves facing a fierce storm. We see here that storms can come after victories. Storms can come after victories. I'm glad if everything's going great right now for you. I'm glad if you just got a promotion. I'm glad if you just got a new job. I'm glad if you just moved into a new situation where things are better, a brand new home, and maybe a child is on the way, and praise God for that. Victory is wonderful. However, we must understand with victory comes testings and trials and storms and difficulties, and if we're not ready for them, we're going to fall. Let's be ready for these storms. They come after victories. The disciples had just experienced the feeding of 5,000 when their storm came. Not only do storms come after victories, but we must realize that storms can occur really at any time. At any time. Pastor has said time and time again, we're either in a storm, we just came out of a storm, or we're getting ready to go into one. We're either in a storm, just came out of one, or we're getting ready to go into one. By the way, that's just a life cycle. Get used to it. That's why this is a very important subject. Not only do we see the position of storms, but let's take a look at the purpose behind storms. Why does God use storms in our lives? The first purpose that I believe God uses storms for is to test us. To test us. Much the same as why a teacher tests his students. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not. A couple reasons why I believe God tests us is, number one, so he can see where we're at. So he can see where we're at. See, God is always wanting to give us things. God is always wanting to bless us. But sometimes he has to put us through the fire to see if we're deserving of that blessing, to see if we're deserving of that new responsibility. Not only does God want us to see where we're at, but another reason why he tests us is because God wants to show us where we're at. I've been teaching for 7 years now, and every once in a while, I'll have a student that seems to think they're smarter than they are. I don't need this, I don't need that, I don't need to study, I got photographic memory. What are we doing tomorrow? And then they take that test. Nah, it's aced. I don't even need to do the bonus. Sure enough, they flunk. They fail miserably. And sometimes we have a false assumption of where we think we are spiritually, where we think we are as a dad. I'm a good enough dad. I don't need to read those books on child rearing. I don't need to learn how to work with people. But come on, look at me. I'm just a human relationship. The walking human relationship. Everyone can learn from me. Oh, let's be careful. God will use a storm to come by your way to bring you down, sir. Bring you down, man. Bring you down, preacher. Let's be careful with that. God uses storms to test us. Number two, another reason why God uses storms is to grow us. Not only to test us, but to grow us. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God wants us to grow. Whatever stage you're at as an employee right now at your workplace, God wants you to be better. Whatever kind of dad you are, and you may be good, but God wants you better. Whatever kind of wife you are, you may cook, you may clean, you may fold laundry, you may iron. Wherever you're at, God wants you better. Sons out there, whatever kind of child you are, you may do your homework, and you may say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and wash the car, and do the laundry every once in a while. Wherever you're at, God wants you to grow. He doesn't want you to stay where you're at. It takes the right process, by the way, to get the right product. We must understand that everybody wants to grow. I want to be a better basketball player. I want to be a better volleyball player. I want to be a better dad. But guess what? You can't skip out on the process. It takes the right process. I think about a caterpillar. And I'm not one of these insect lovers here, okay? It's just an illustration. Bear with me. I think about a caterpillar, how really it's just a little critter. I think it has 12 legs. It crawls around, eats people's leaves, and makes them go to Home Depot and buy some caterpillar killer. And that caterpillar has a metamorphosis stage that it goes through to become a butterfly. And really, that caterpillar honestly looks a little gross to many people, but everybody, I think, enjoys a butterfly. But that caterpillar, in order before that little ugly caterpillar can become this beautiful butterfly, it has to go through the cocoon process. And that cocoon process isn't comfortable, by the way. I did a little research. That caterpillar encases himself in his own cocoon, and he has to allow his own juices to digest himself so he can grow wings. What a process. But by the way, a tough process it may be, but it is the needed process to be that butterfly. Many of us, we don't like difficulties. We don't like storms. We don't like trials. But in order for you to advance and in order for me to get to the next level, God has to put us through the fire. God has to mold us. God has to shape us. And God has to work on us and cut out all the undesirable pieces that we have in our lives. Don't resent storm. God uses them to grow us. God uses them to grow us. I think about a situation that I went through in 2011. A bunch of situations. I call it the worst and best year of my life. I remember in October, mid-October, we got a phone call. I was teaching. My wife called me, and she was just crying on the phone. And she never cries. I've tried to make her cry. She just doesn't cry. And she was crying. I was like, honey, what's wrong? And she said, honey, my dad just had a stroke. He's in the hospital right now. It was an early morning class around 10, 9 or 10 o'clock. I said, okay, that's all I need to hear. We're going to go down to visit. Is he alive? The first question, we're going to go down and visit him at the military hospital. So I put down the phone. I got a sub for my class, told my boss, I'm leaving. I'm going, all right? So I drove my wife down to go see her dad, and it was just so quiet in the car. We were just listening to the Bible songs. And by the way, these are songs that I listen to all the time, but they are so real to me. You know, there's one, God is so good. And, man, what a wonderful song that helped me through that. Went down, saw him. I remember praying so much that God will keep his life, because his first grandchild, my first son, was going to be born. That was in October, mid-October. He was going to be born next month in November, around the 20th, 21st. That was when she was scheduled to have CJ. And it didn't look good. We showed up. He was not responsive, of course. He had a lot of blood rupture up here, I think, so they had to siphon blood out of his head. There was a tube coming out of his head. And my wife was just devastated. It was a storm that we're going through. We didn't quite understand it, to be honest with you. Nobody wants to go through that. And I'm not making light of this situation saying, hey, I understand what you're going through, because I may not. But I remember we came back home to get through this quickly here. We came back home, and I told my mom about it. And I remember sitting in the kitchen with my mom having a very long conversation. By the way, she's coming back from Cambodia tonight. She's been gone for the last month. Other than that, she'd always be in church. But she stood in the kitchen talking to me about death. It was weird. And she was not saved at the time. And she just kept on thinking, man, it may be my time to go too soon. I feel it. And at that time, we didn't really understand. I can't say that I witnessed to her, but I did talk about it a little bit and kind of took advantage of the situation. Her heart was soft. 2 weeks later, I hear my mom, about 4 o'clock in the morning, tell me to call 911. I live with my mom. And I remember going to her room after hearing her a little bit there, going to her room and seeing her on the floor, just shaking. I'm like, this doesn't look good. I remember thinking, what do I do? What's going on here? And then she said, call 911, and then she became unresponsive. Praise God, they came within 4.5 to 5 minutes, went to the hospital, found out she had a heart attack. And if you know what a code blue was, I heard it about 4 or 5 times in relation to my mom. I don't know why I'm going through these storms at this time. My son is about to be born in a couple weeks here at this point. When mom wakes up from just being unconscious a couple days later, she got saved. She got saved. You know, I don't really know how she got saved other than, of course, she accepted Jesus Christ. But I like to look at my trials and say everything happens for a reason. I think that when my father-in-law had his stroke, God used that to work on my mom's heart. And I think that obviously her heart attack, God used that to work on literally her heart. And then she got saved when she woke up. Pastor went over there, led her to the Lord. Sometimes our trials, we resent them. But we need to embrace them, because they'll help us to grow. They'll help us to grow. Another reason why storms come our way is not only to test us, not only to grow us, but also to wake us. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, but if you will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. God will do anything that he can to get our attention. Sometimes we're hard-hearted. I'm hard-hearted. And no matter how hard somebody preaches at me, no matter how many verses are in the Bible that tell me that what I'm doing is wrong, sometimes it takes the hand of God to bring a storm by to wake us up. The Bible says, be sure our sin will find us out. I don't know who's involved in sin this morning. All sin is the same. But if there's unconfessed sin that you're holding on to, don't wait until God brings something devastating to cripple you. I'd rather have a storm because he's testing me. I'd rather have a storm because he's growing me. I don't want to do anything with storms because he has to wake me. Please. Opportunities are there. Get right with God. If you're not going to do it for your family, if you're not going to do it for your children, if you're not going to do it for your wife, do it for yourself. Do it for yourself. God uses storms to wake us. Not only do we see the position of storms and the purpose behind storms, we also can see here the promise during storms. Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We're almost done here. Romans chapter number 8. And we're going to look at a very famous verse when it comes to trials. The Bible says in verse number 28, and I'll read it for sake of time. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This is a promise from God. And by the way, the promise is very clear. We know all things will work together for good. And I don't know about you, but we're living in a society where we have corrupt people without any integrity. When they say, I promise, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But when God says he promises, you can take it to the bank. We can see the certainty of his outcome because God does not lie. But what do we see about this promise? Let's take a look here. This promise is not for the unsaved. It really isn't. Now, if you're unsaved here this morning, if you've never accepted Christ, we love you. I care about you. I want you to get saved, and today's the day to get saved. Don't reject Christ any longer. Don't leave Pacific Baptist Church without knowing that you're going to heaven. But if you're going through a trial, it may work out. You may have Google searched your sickness, and you may have found a medicine that can cure you. But let me say this. There is no promise from God that it will work out. This promise is for the saved people, not the unsaved. Those that love God, we can have the assurance that as dark as these days may be, and I don't understand that stroke, and I don't understand that heart attack, and I don't understand the pains that I'm feeling myself, but I know that it's all going to work out for good. And by the way, in my life, I can say that it has worked out for good. It has. In hindsight, it has. Are you claiming his promise this morning? Are you going through a dark time this morning and you feel that you just can't go on? I've got good news for you. There's a promise from your Savior that he wants to help you. Another promise that we see during the storm is that God will be with us during the storm. God will be with us. Deuteronomy 31:6, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God will be with us in the storms. My friends may forsake me. My family may not want to talk to me. But when I'm going through a tough time, if I seek him, he will be with me through the storm. Not only does God want us to understand the position of storms, the purpose behind storms, and the promise to remember during storms, but he wants us to survive the storm. He wants us to survive the storm, which leads us to our final point. Number 4, prevailing through the storms. Prevailing through the storms. For sake of time, I cannot read it. I apologize. We're back in Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14. I won't read all the verses here. But here in Matthew chapter number 14, we'll see 3 simple steps to make sure that we are prevailing through the storm. Of course, this story is taking place with the disciples in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, tossed with waves in a violent storm, and they're all fearful and they're scared. And let's see here, verse number 26 to 27, if you want to follow me here, if you're still there. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. I believe one of the reasons why the disciples, the closest people to Jesus, did not recognize him and thought he was a ghost is because they weren't even looking for him. They weren't even looking for him. There's no way that in your trial, if you're looking for God, that you're not going to see him, because it's very clear. I believe that one of the reasons why we don't see Jesus Christ evident in our lives in the midst of our storm is because we're not looking for him. We pick up the phone call and call our friends and we Google things and we talk to the doctor and we talk to others that are around us, and the last thing we do is pray. Let's get to God. If you're struggling this morning, if there's a trial, there's an altar right here for you. And God wants to hear you. He doesn't want to hear it secondhand. He wants to hear it from you. Let's look for God. Number two, let's take the first step to God. Verses 28 to 29. We won't take time to read it here. But Peter, one of the boldest Christians, asked the Lord, "Lord, if it's you, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he took that first step to God. Some of us are waiting for people to do something for us or God to work on a miracle. God, if you want me to go to church, take me out of debt. No, you go to church first and let's see what God does. God, if you want me to go to church, restore my family, help my wife to be what she needs to be. No, you get in your Bible first. I get in my Bible first. I get on my knees first. And then God will work. We must take the first step to God. Get in church. Get in the Bible. Get on your knees. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Not only should we look for God in the storm, not only should we take the first step to God, but we should also keep our eyes on Jesus. Verse number 30, the Bible says, as Peter was walking on the water here, he was doing well. Verse number 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Peter was doing well as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Lord, bid me to come unto thee on the water. Everything was going fine. But all of a sudden, whoa. And then he sunk. I believe many of us, we did well. We're going to church. We're reading our Bibles. We're keeping our eyes fixated on Christ. But somewhere down the line, some worldliness got our attention. Somewhere down the line, some family got our attention. Somewhere down the line, something got our attention. Someone got our attention. And we took our eyes off of Christ. And sure, we're here, but it's just our shell. Our heart's somewhere else. And because of that, we're sinking. And we're sinking. The goal is to get your eyes back on Jesus. Get back in church. Get back in the Bible. Cut out some things that you don't need to be there. Life is full of distractions, and that will never change. But we can be focused. We can be focused. How about it this morning? How are you viewing the storms of your life? Are we resenting them? Do we wish that we didn't have to go through them? I want to encourage you, those storms are there, much like that cocoon is there. God has something very special that you and I cannot possibly fathom. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a blessable thing. But we forfeit that wonderful future to live for today and to be content where we're at. Wherever you are at, however you are hurting, is with purpose if you love God. And God will get you through it. And God has something wonderful planned. Please. Embrace the storm. Embrace the storm. Let's pray.